Good to be here. See so many friends. Thank you, Ori. Thank you, White Whale. All the thanks to Joan, Chris. Thanks, Deb, for a beautiful reading. I feel all the layers and veils and high and high. Since the sound boat is a new and selected, it's been hard for me to figure out what to read from it. Some of the poems are 40 years old. Some of them I've read many times in Pittsburgh. And last year, I had two launches, one virtual last spring and one here at White Whale in the fall, Jan Beatty and Gita Katari. So I'm trying not to repeat what I read then, but I might end up doing them. I wanted to make two shout outs. One to Joan for this amazing new book. And you should buy it if you do not have it. It's called Fig Season. There's really a gorgeous, sexy, angry poem about Anna Magnani that I just love. I was reading it this afternoon. So you should buy this book. And the second shout out is to Michael Worser, who's a bit laid up. And I wanted to read a poem for him. I talked to him this afternoon. He said, what poem are you going to read? And I said, I'm going to read The British Detective, not remembering that there is no such poem. There's a book called The British Detective. And of course, you know, I've known Michael for so many years, always wondering how he writes those poems, and realizing then after that book came out that he is kind of like the British detective. He writes about Pittsburgh from this faraway place, like an outsider and a sleuth. But it's summer. This is a sexy little summer poem. So I thought I'd read this, The Picnic by Michael Worser. I was on a picnic with friends down by the river, and I saw a woman who resembled you in the water. She was waiting, and I wanted to be with her rather than with them. And I wanted to be with you rather than with her. Yes, there were the geese and ducks. The sun shone and a breeze blew something that was like goose down from the trees. Lots of boats out on the water. And I wanted to be with you. Isn't that beautiful? So I'm moving around in the new and selected, and then I'll read some brand new poems. Every year, to me, Pride Month becomes more and more commercialized, and it is a celebration. It's urgent and essential, and it's wonderful. And every year, I'm a little bit sadder. I think about my friends who were lost in that first wave of the AIDS pandemic. So this is an elegy called Poem at an Unmarked Grave. For my friend Jimmer, who was a brilliant young architecture student at Carnegie Mellon. Your grave is untouched by flowers I might have brought. You left me this fierce love of spaces. My newest memorial to you is a meadow garden holding stones of many shapes, mushroom, serpent, loaf of bread. You enter through the east and spiral through it till we come to two log chairs. It's stunning the way wind through the pines still can't make the sound of your voice. Every place is like every place. You'd laugh those nights we stayed enchanted till dawn at your drafting table, smoking and drawing boulevards and libraries. Your front windows above the glinting intersections were the eyes I used. The body of Pittsburgh curved under snow, sculpted finally into our dreams of it whole. The public domain of the universities and factories met the sturdy chimneys and streets of our privacy. We were 20 years old and lived inside Emerson's miracle. A college education is a room with a fire. inside a strange city. A lot of my friends then couldn't wait to get out of Pittsburgh and move either to the East Coast or the West Coast. And this is for Gilbert, moving to New York. When you get there, walk into the Cafe Deutschland, not the painting by Jörg Immendorf, but a bar I'm imagining, and the cold will leave you like a jacket dropped to the floor before a blazing fire, orange ceiling, blue walls, a green leather floor still warm from the women getting up to leave. Not on your account, they're off to another party. Order a drink, hot and strong. Everyone looks ready. Their clean hair and thick sweaters breathing at you. The paintings are amazing. A country scene folds in on itself forever. It's tiny scale, happy and intricate, like you. The night you left, you joined a long list of expatriates, all my old friends gone to California or East. Industry was dead 10 years ago, and our country of two classes, one called retrain, the other acquire, moves on, wobbly and mean. You stretch into a future, funneling canvases in from Germany, another country in need of a culture. The young expressionists want to meet you. They have. They're happy, they're painting and making money in small businesses and talking about where they buy their jeans, and they make good art. About your one worry, you'll survive as an organism in the big streets and small greeneries. The morning coffee tastes good as you ride up the elevator, and when you ride down at night, the steel doors open, the great glass doors of the building hush closed, and you walk into the avenue, the city silver and black as your eyeglasses and coat. And I'll read this one for Mike. I'm happy to read Mike's been forever. It's from the Vietnam era, called The Ruined House. The ruined house above a meadow on a high lane, painted eggshell for years, went vacant and grayed, most of the windows gone. Cards and canteens, rusty cans, and a camp cot in the attic open to sky. I counted 7. Every time I walked up there, 3 red spruce, 2 white pine, 2 hawthorn. I knew 6 boys, plus my brother, who'd been sent to Vietnam. The 7 trees rimmed the house and sang to it. Wind, snow squall, rain, and resin, thorns and pips, all their tunes and tickings. The tar paper roof curled into a funnel made a crying sound. The township draft board protected their own. 7 trees were singing, lifting and turning, hiding me, going up there to scream. Sometimes you go away to write, you're lucky enough, somebody says, hey, use my space, you can have it for the week. And I get very excited and shit happens. Or it doesn't, I should say doesn't. Ars Poetica. Stalled and bitchy despite this lovely loft, mine for a week. Sitting, nothing. I try whistling, match the register bird call from the high air shaft. I scrub, sweep, releasing the gleam of corners when suddenly the elevator whooshes. A kid 7 feet tall steps off and into my space, proffering a case of champagne. Quick glance and halt. Wrong, sorry. I nearly become a minor warehouse queen, a grace note, a locket, pomegranate intoxicating my desk. As I open the notebook, I've given up as too nice to use. Okay. I think I'll just move over to the new poems. I'll read a couple of those. There's an optical phenomenon. You can see it sometimes at the sea horizon at sunset. It's called the Green Ray. There's a short, not even a novella, it's a long short story maybe by Jules Verne by that name. And there's a really wonderful talk about it on YouTube by Tacita Dean. This poem is set in Amsterdam. There's a woman called the Roost Child who is the ghost of my Dutch grandmother. She shows up in the poem, and I think that's the Green Ray. Have I done enough besides counting the blue steel thistle flowers at my door and bowing to the Roost Child, 85, sightless, bent, cooling her pies on the sill? Have I visited Miro's Flemish imitations enough, his tender creams and bronzes, bright rubbed grays and scarlet pipings, loving him as much or more than Rembrandt? Hold that thought. I thread the canal belts and rings, running low on cash, soon returning across the North Sea to home. Walk the shoreline, tick through the fields of tulips, shiny warheads charting their 400 years of slaughter and indulgences, so I might see finally the day stars, half-second stuff of miracles. Feeling younger, a needle sliding, no longer punching through surfaces in mud and gravel, I sit and wait. Have I delayed my strangeness, or have I been like the Roost Child's dream book, an open secret splayed on my table, spellbound by increments in the shapes of numbers or letters, holding my breath before sunset, the white hot disk, sky hovering, see it descending, buttering, watch it blink, close my eyes a second, lids hot canopies, helpless, shut to cool, wait, open and see, wait for it. Blue sea and lemon star fused, flare to vapor, and there, a heartless green, a bitter lime, a freezer burnt chartreuse tongue, swollen and seething horizontally atop the sea. What is about to leave our lives at brutal speed? Lathing my eyeballs softer now. See it once, you just about have it. Or think you see it and you burnish yourself to a gold flame later in the telling. Telling of it, your whole life, thrill undimmed. Last poem, The Little Fox. During the 50s, my mother and her sister both wore those little fur pieces around their necks. Little fox, brass clamp gripping your mouth to tail. Lovely your red blend fur against her chestnut chignon. Your bright shining eyes watched me while her neck turned and she dipped to hug me before the nightclub hours. You must have danced and twirled, her head spinning. Unless the lights were too hot and she rested you on the back of a leather banquette. Everyone admired you lounging, perfumed with whiskey and smoke. My poor idea of a woodland escape, running past fires, blazing streams, rushing. I've thought of returning to you so many times, unburying you, even if the banks of Sulphur Creek restored, fresh with wild cherry and willow, might feel familiar to you. Even if the sharp triangles of your perfect ears or the thread claws of your feet or wet black eyes are chewed to dust. I should have carried you to the cremation shrine and brought your ashes home instead of laying you down in the grass alone, snout facing cold east, tail unfurled west to the brutal Ohio. Thank you.